Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you, and thank you for tuning in. I'm the Rev. On a Monday, December 7th, we're here talking to you. First of all, I'll tell you happy holidays. I'm going to get some promos done this next day or so we can put on the air. I had a comment from a viewer and a listener as well, stating that they needed to see if we had more promos, just saying happy holidays and stuff. So we're going to get that done today, hopefully. I got to get some jingle music. And I should have checked at the stores and stuff when I was in through them this weekend and all, but that's fine. But just want to tell you that we're here, and we're loving you, and we're here on another Monday, getting through the day, just like you, trying to make it through the days that we go through. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with dragging in, but you just have to have a good attitude, a good insight, and a good heart on what you're doing. You have to try and do your best every day that you're working. We're going to talk about that today. Yep, that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about, let me give you my address. It's Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. You can email me, therev@midwatchwiththerev.com, therev@midwatchwiththerev.com. Now that address again is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. And I want to tell you again, welcome to the show. Don't you think that you have to work hard every day? I know that we can talk about it and go back and forth on it, but I did a sermon this past weekend. I'll tell you what, we've been getting ready for the holidays as well. And, you know, right now is about all the holiday sermons are coming out. All the holiday sermons are coming out, and there's so many of them. I even thumbed through some of my older ones to see if there's something original in there, if there can be any originality in something that's old. I have no idea. But what I did do was I did check it out and see what we had and what I could put together. And I really didn't feel to go on there. There was something that I was studying, and I know that I've told you this before. I've talked to you about this, that we were going to be talking about it eventually on the show here. And there was three reasons why you have to pray hard every day. And it's called being on guard is the topic of the sermon that I preached last night. We're going to cover that a little bit. But just let you know, just something that's coming on here at the Midwatch with the Rev. We're going to be partnering with the Metro Church, and we're going to be presenting Sons of Thunder, or the Son of Thunder. And that is Yanyo Ministries, You Are Not Your Own Ministries, and CDs. And they're going to be here in Metro Church at 7811 FM 1960. That is going to be on this Friday, December 11th at 7 p.m. Again, our address is 7811 FM 1960. We're going to be holding this event. It's going to be a Christian rap group. They're going to have some pizza, have some drinks and stuff like that for the kids and all, but also for young adults and for anyone that wants to come. It's open to everybody. And the beautiful thing is that they are here, that they love the Lord, and that their mind and their heart are in the right place. You know, when we interviewed them and talked to them, because they came to us wanting to know if they can hold an event here at the church, we sat with them for several sessions and talked to them and got to know them. And they're members of our church now. In fact, they're going to be heading up the youth group, and Shane and Stephen. And they're going to be doing a lot of work with the youth. And they're dual brothers. They're really good men of God. And they're eager to learn, but also they're eager to be used by God. And that's the thing that you need. You need someone that wants to be used by God. Someone that wants to be a part of the work of God in your ministry and in everything that you do. You need someone that really wants to be a part of it. You don't need anyone that doesn't want to be active and be not be submissive. And we cover that a lot with Pastor Mike Salazar on the Wednesdays here on Leadership. Even Pastor Daniel Vasquez with us last week, and he touched on leadership and submitting. So these guys are good guys. We told what we expected of them. We told them that what we needed of them as well, as far as commitment, really just making Metro Church their home church if they're going to be taking care of our youth. And they were good guys. They're good guys, and we're going to see what's happening with them. We're going to see how things are running in the next few days. It's going to be awesome. Well, after this event, every Thursday after this event, they're going to be having a show, except for Christmas Eve, of course. But every Thursday, they're going to be having an event here at the church. They're going to be having a youth services and things like that. So if you're thinking about having a church that you want to visit, we'd love to have you here at Metro Church. Amen, my friends. We're going to see some good things come out. So what I'm talking about today is being on guard. Being on guard. Just like the old shows when they used to fence, they always would say, on guard. In other words, protect yourself. Get ready. Combat's about to happen. I'm about to come at you with a sword that you need to be on guard. And even when that stuff, when you're fencing and all that stuff and you're prepared for the battle, your attention, your mind, your entire concept will make you alert and ready to move, ready to shake and bake when you need to shake and bake, ready to run when you need to run, move when you need to move, leap when you need to leap, duck when you need to duck. And that's what on guard means, being on guard. But there are three reasons in the Word of God why you have to guard yourself. We're going to cover that in just a minute. But I'm going to tell you this. It is easy, very easy, to be comfortable with the way your life is right now. Very easy. Maybe you've passed all the hurt of a relationship. Maybe you passed all the pain of a relationship. Maybe you already made up your mind and that you're good to go. And you're fine. You're comfortable. And maybe during your hardest times, you were praying to God with all your heart and all your might. Could be. It could be. That at one time in your life, you used to pray with God all day, every day, for relationships, for healings, for miracles, for things that you needed the most. And it wasn't odd for you to be found at your altar, wherever you have it. Maybe you have a prayer closet where you go into the closet and pray. I tried that a couple of times. Stop doing that when I would be traveling and visiting people, and then I'd tell them to use your closet to pray, and they'd be okay. And then all of a sudden, I hear women in the next room changing or something, and I'm like, I better get up and let them know I'm here. No, I'm not a peeper. It was a couple of times that happened that they forgot that I was in the house and I was praying, because I get in the zone praying. And so now I just pray at my own house, because I don't travel as much as I had to when I was younger. Younger being like 20-ish. I'm 30-ish now, 38. Oh, well, not an old goat, but old enough. And you see that I would always pray. And my prayer closet is usually my bed. I love to either pray beside the bed or on the bed or laying all different ways around, standing on my head, who knows, on the bed. I love to pray on the bed. That is my prayer zone. That's where I pray. That's where I seek God. Many times you'll see me walking around the living room praying. So I have my spot where I pray. I'm sure you do. I mean, it could be a porch. It could be the back of the house in the room. Maybe you have a closet as well. But who knows? Well, wherever your prayer closet, it was not uncommon, or it is not uncommon, to see you praying in your prayer closet. It's not uncommon to see you in your prayer spot. We'll just call it the prayer spot. And when you would pray, you would always be there for someone else's needs, for your needs, for intervention, for healing, for miracles. Again, not uncommon to see you. Not uncommon to have you there praying at all. And during this time that you would pray, you would really put your heart, while you're in your spot, you would put your heart, your mind, your soul, every part of you in it. You are not going to be shortchanged for your family or for anyone else. You were not. You decided that you were going to stay and pray with a purpose. And you decided that no matter what, you were going to see this prayer through. No matter how long it took you, you're going to pray till you got what you need to get. And I think that a lot of times that when we look at that, we tend to kind of figure out that all of us tend to get a little, just a little, weary of praying, especially when times are good. Now, when times are bad, like I said earlier, when you're needing a healing or needing a miracle, you're there. When you're needing something to happen for God, you're there. And I don't want to scare you, but when times are good, or sometimes the most time that you need to be in front of God. Now, I'm just trying to tell you this to give you an idea of what's going on. In the next segment, we're going to play a quick commercial. In the next segment, we're going to go ahead and talk a little bit more. I'm going to give you some scriptures and let you know what's going on. We'll be right back. Have you ever felt that you let God down in the way you handled your dating or marriage relationships? How about the deja vu feeling that you had the same bad experience before, but you can't help repeating what you know doesn't work? Emotions about our relationships are constantly shifting from highs to lows. If we know that we are not in the right relationship, we still try to convince ourselves of our partner otherwise. Sometimes that convincing leads us away from God, Christian friends, family, and the church. Does this describe you? And if it does, do you ever wonder if all your rationalizations and poor choices have exceeded the limits of God's patience with you so that you are almost out of grace? If so, my friends, I have written this book for you. The title of my new book is Almost Out of Grace. This book will be a blessing in your life. You can pick this book up anywhere books are sold. Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, anywhere books are sold. You can also pick it up at my website, RevMinistries.com, for $12. Also, AlmostOutOfGrace.com, you can go there, and there's a link there as well to purchase the book. If you want to preview the chapters, if you want to know more about the book and why I wrote the book, visit AlmostOutOfGrace.com. You can get through there through RevMinistries.com, or you can go straight to AlmostOutOfGrace.com, and you'll be able to see why this book came into existence and how it came into existence through radio shows. God bless you. Please purchase the book anywhere books are sold, or you can write us at P.O. Box 5172. Send us a check, money order. We also take credit card. If you want to call in at 888-241-0768, hit extension 2, and we'll be able to help you in the bookstore. God bless you. Thank you. Again, Almost Out of Grace will be a blessing to your relationships. Welcome back to the studio. Again, this is David Yanez, your host, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. Being on guard is the subject. It's something that I think a lot of us go through. Before the break, I was telling you how easy it is that we slip into a non-praying type of coma here. It's easy to get in front of God when you have a need. I'm going to tell you the truth. I've run through that myself. It's easy. There's no limit on how long you're supposed to spend with God. There's no limit on how long. There doesn't say anything in the Word of God about how long you're supposed to spend, as far as 30 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour. There's no limit to that. It doesn't tell you. It doesn't tell you 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 7 minutes. Now you're going to hear a lot of different reports. You're going to hear a lot of people say different things. You're also going to hear a lot of people say that you should have been praying more when something happens. That is the thing. We don't know when things are going to happen. We don't. So when I'm talking about that, you have to be in your prayer closet. When the Bible does say in season and out of season, that you need to be ready. We get that scripture, and we need to hold on to that scripture. We need to be able to hold that scripture and know that that's what God has. That's what God means, is to stay in prayer. He does. Whether you pray for 5 minutes, and that's your regular prayer time, I hope you pray a little bit longer. But whether you pray for 5 minutes or you pray for 5 hours, when things get easy, it's very easy to slip into a little prayer coma where you don't pray at all, where you forget to pray. I like to call it the drive-by prayer. And when I say the drive-by prayer, I'm not talking about gunshots or anything like that. What I'm talking about is when you just you see that spot, that very, very certain spot where you usually spend your time worshiping the Lord and adoring Him. It is the very spot that you see your Bible worn, maybe written on and marked up a little. It is that time that you see that and you're like, I'm not going to pray today. You see, right there in that room, you felt the warmth and love of God. And in your darkest hours, in your deepest times, in your hardest hurt, you prayed and you met God right there. But as times get easier, and I want to tell you right now, we all want our lives to be wonderful. We all want things. If you're not praying and expecting or even believing that things are going to get wonderful for you, then we have a problem. We have a problem, my friends. We have to get better in life. We have to believe that God is going to do miracles for you, that you don't have to always be going to God for a breakthrough. We have to believe that no matter what, we are going to see great things. We have to believe that eventually things will look better. No matter what, things will look better because they just will. So if things are wonderful in your life, there's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely not. Sure, you may have went through some troubles and dilemmas, but you made it for now. And that's awesome. We want things to be wonderful. If you cannot see that your kids are going to be greater than you, then you got a problem. I believe that. If you cannot see that your sons and daughters are going to be phenomenal and that you have pushed through all the way for them so that they will not be tied up and that they will not be held back and that they will go forward with God's grace and God's blessing, then if you don't see that, man, you have a problem. If you don't see that, then there's something wrong. There is. So when I tell you that I want you to keep praying so that you can be on guard, I truly, truly mean it. You see, I know that there's a time for each one of us that we don't want to pray. I know from firsthand experience. I can tell you that if you look and you watch and see where you won those wars, it was in your room or your prayer closet or wherever, the battles that you had to fight, that's how you won it. That's how you won it. You won it through praying. You won it through doing what you're supposed to do for the Lord and praying and staying in season. Whether you were in a battle or out of a battle, you were still praying. Now, when you look at your prayer spot and you just go in there and you go through the motions without the heart, without the faith, without the emphasis to impact what you want. If you're going in there and you're not looking for discovery, if you're not looking for revelation, if you're not looking for something from God, and you're just praying in it, thank you, Lord, for this day, bless my children, blah, 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 and you go. Yeah, you mean it, but you're not seeking it really hard with your heart. Yeah, you may have touched someone but you're not really pushing hard enough in your mind, spirit, and body. So, what do I have to say to that? This is what I have to say, my friends. You have to push forward no matter what. You have to pray. You have to pray to be on guard. Open your Bibles to 1 Peter 5, 8. 1 Peter 5, 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. My friends, you have no friends when it comes to the enemy. You have no friends when it comes to the enemy's camp. There's three things on this earth that are coming after you head on. Three things that will not let you breathe if it could. Three things that want to come as a force and wreck your life. Three things that you need to be prepared for no matter what. The devil is your enemy. Demons, witches, and every kind of idolatry and divination has been put on this earth to stop you. We're going to cover some of that in a few minutes. We will. But there is a force, which is the devil, and he is coming hard at you. But thank God we have Jesus. Thank God we have the Lord. Thank God that we have what we need to have in Christ. My address is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. I haven't heard from any of y'all writing, and we are on Chattanga right now. So if you go into Chattango, we're here. I have the window open. If you want to chat with me, say hi to the Rev. That is awesome as well. You want to email me, therev@midwatchwiththerev.com. If you want your show, or you want to talk about putting a show on, for on the station, on either the TV channel or the radio channel, david@revmedianetwork.com. It's crazy sometimes when I'm putting together these shows. You never know where the Spirit's going to lead you and how the Spirit will touch other things and minister to other things. And I really see that a lot of people out there, and I had the liberty of being at a lot of events this last week. I was at several high society, if you want to call it, events. And I've seen a lot of wealthy people, a lot of very popular people, some TV personalities as well. And I sat there and stood there and browsed the area. And I thought about this sermon that I'm having right now, is that a lot of people are just busy and doing things. And they're having their Christmas parties as this next week, or just get together, holiday parties, whatever you want to call them. And when you look at that, you think about how many of these people are even near God. How many of these people know about God? I was in mansions, the hugest mansions of one of the Ivy type schools here in the South, if we had one. I was in one of the mansions for the president of one of these schools, these colleges, universities, big university. And it is amazing when you see all these people there and you see the wealth of the land. I also was in a very rich area as well, the other night as well, and very nice people. And you wonder, when finances are there like that, you know, how many of them know the Lord? And I don't know. It just makes you think. it just makes you think. You see that, and you see the wealth. You see the wealth of the wicked or the unrighteous. I wouldn't call, I guess, unrighteous. And you would see that, and you think, man, how can they just be out there like that? How can they be out there with all that? It was crazy. And I had fun. And I think that that a lot of times when you see that, you just know that God is God, and He has you here for a season doing certain things for Him, and that's fine. But being on guard means just that, be on guard. Just like that scripture we read it in 1 Peter 5:8, that you got to be prepared. You got to be ready. And you got to be in prayer. Now, there was a time in my life as I was in the Navy that I did not, again, I say I did not want to pray one night. I did not want to be there. I did not want to pray because I think that I was very tired one evening and I was on watch. Now this is when I was probably about 19, maybe 20 years old. And I had done watches. You know what watches are, when you stand and you walk around the community and the base or the ship, and you just rove the place, or you stand at a post for 4 hours at a time. I didn't want to pray. I was tired. I knew I didn't have to do any watches on the next night. So when I went over there and I decided that I wasn't going to pray, then I looked at the duty posting. And what on the duty posting, what it had was basically, it had our watch sheets and what we're supposed to be doing and what time we watch. And I knew that I wasn't going to be watching that evening, so I was like, cool, I don't have to do the watch now. I was like, I get to get a full 8 hours sleep or a little bit even longer, so I wanted to tuck in early. And I knew there's some things I could have prayed about, but I wanted to tuck in. I'll tell you the rest of that when we get back. Let us play one more commercial. We'll be right back. God bless you.
Everybody, you're listening to Warn Radio over the Rev Media Network. Hi, I'm the Watchman. My name is Dana Smith, and I'm host of Warn Radio Into the Night. We feature three great shows on this network, the Rev Media Network. Tuesday, 7 to 9 p.m. Mountain Standard Time is one of our first shows that we ever started. Very, very popular, World Affairs and Hot Prophecy News. Thursday nights, this is a new show that we started called The Watchman and a Warrior, with interviews and light in the fire topics, 7 to 9 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. And then on Saturdays, 7 to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Times, don't miss this biblical preparation time. This is the time when friends of the Watchman gather together and we get into the Word of God to prepare for what is coming. It's called Watchman and Friends, and you won't want to miss it. Join all of the gang and many others. Join us, my friends, right here on this network. You can listen live to this network on our websites. It's all connected. Join us for a live chat, call-ins, and listen live from our websites, or you can listen directly as well from the Rev Media Network. Now, if you want to join in on our chat, listen live pages, you need to go to warn-usa.com or warn-radio.com or ddayforamerica.com. And that 4 is the number 4, ddday, the number 4, america.com. And look for the chat, listen live links. You'll be glad you did. And we will be glad that you joined us. Shalom, my friends. God bless. And thanks for listening.
I want to take this time just to thank all the hosts that have sent in their shows and have been at the studio, at the auxiliary studio, trying to get everything going and trying to get their programs on the air. This is a huge effort to try and get a station like this put together within the next month or so. The next few weeks, we'll be putting the actual shows through the main station at the church that we have, the property that we have, and we're going to be broadcasting this live 24/7 like we're doing now, but we're going to have more programming at that time. I have churches that have agreed to sign up and to send their MP3s and their CDs to us so we can get this thing going. Now, if you're interested and you like the broadcast, let me tell you this for just 1 minute. We have people from Russia, Netherlands, China, Belgium, Spain, Africa, all listening. I can go online, I can show you statistics and show you who's streaming and who's hearing from those countries. We have very, very up-to-date software. We have the latest information available to us through the web that gives us the ratings and stuff of what we're doing out there. And we're touching people. People are listening anywhere from, 3 minutes to 15 minutes to even an hour at a time. So don't think this is just going out to deaf ears. I believe this is touching and reaching people. I believe that you can be a part of this. It's very simple. If you want to host your show from where your location is, or if you want to come into our studio and you're in the Houston area where you can actually do the show, you don't have to be in Houston or have to be at our studio to actually have a show. Revenue Network will be able to get you to where you got to go. You can be one of the most influential ministers and Christian talk show hosts available and around this world. If you do have material, please contact us at 888-241-0768. You can hit my extension, it was extension 5, and that'll get straight to me. Or you can go ahead and write us at P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325. We can send us your CDs through that way. And also, you can email me, therev@revmedianetwork.com. God bless you. Thank you again for listening.
Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to the show. This is David Yannis, your host. I hope you enjoyed some of those commercials that I sneak in a quick little lunch in between these segments. You caught me. I thought that one went on for another 30 seconds. It's good. I try not to burp on the air for you. How about that? Well, when I was in the military, I tell you what, it was rare not to see me praying and walking the mess decks and throughout the ship, walking the top of the 01, 02 levels, even the 03 levels, and just going through all the outside to the fantail, all the way around, throughout the entire ship, all the way down to the most bottomest part of the ship, no matter what. And I was always praying. And people would always see me there. I used to take tacos. There was a running joke, because I always would have tacos and Taco Bell, and burritos are cheap back then. I don't know, now I think they're like a double the price of what they used to be, what Taco Bell used to be. It used to be a cheap place to eat. And they would call it Taco Hell, because they would have to sit with me. If they wanted a taco, they would have to sit with me and hear me talk to them about the Lord, or ask them what kind of prayer they wanted to get prayed for, and stuff like that. And I think that a lot of people just kind of felt that it was a good time to get a taco, but oh wow, we're going to hear Dave talk to us about the Lord. But you know what? A lot of people would just show up anyway, and they wouldn't even take the taco and just get prayed for and say, oh, I already give it to someone else. So I knew I was starting to reach him. I knew I was starting to touch him. But this particular night, I really did not want to go to bed. Not want to pray. I wanted to go to bed. And even though in my heart, I knew I should have stood up and prayed. It's a true story here. I went ahead and just went to bed and closed my rack curtains that I have on there, that everybody had on them, turned off the light, and went to bed. Because sometimes I'd be in that bed for for hours just reading the Bible, 13 chapters a day. That day I'd probably read a chapter, maybe two chapters, and boom, try to go to bed. Well, in my heart, I knew that God was telling me that I should pray. I mean, I knew it. I knew that he was saying to get to prayer, but I wouldn't. I kept ignoring it and ignoring the call. And you know, when God is trying to tell you something, he keeps telling you and ignoring the call. I wouldn't pray. I was like, no, Lord, I'm going to get 8 hours sleep tonight. I think I can take a night off from praying. A night off. I'm just going to go to bed. Now, I'm not saying this to be legalistic or to show you how great I am and everything that I'm doing for the Lord or anything like that. What I'm saying, why I'm telling you this is because I know for a fact there's a particular time and sometimes a particular reason, and most time it is a particular reason God is telling you to pray for someone. We do not know tomorrow. We don't. We don't know what's going to happen today. We may think we're going to go to work and we're going to just clock in, clock out, go home, make dinner, go back to sleep, go to work, watch your favorite show, blah, 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 and do it. We do not know what's really going to happen. We can anticipate, we can believe, we can pray about it. We can trust God that something good's going to happen no matter what. But I'm telling you this right now, my friends. You better pray if God's telling you to pray. And I'm going to tell you this story. Now, I went to bed and even in the middle of the night, I mean, I should have just prayed and prayed and just got it over with and go to bed. Don't mean to sound like that, but you know, just to pray and be obedient. But I wasn't. I ignored God. That's not a good thing. Never a good thing to ignore God. Never. Well, the Rev here decided that he was going to go ahead and just tell God that I'm not praying. So out loud I said, God, I am not praying. No matter what you do, you cannot get me out of this bed. I am not praying. And I turned around, closed my eyes, went to bed. And not more than a minute later, every light in the entire ship was turned on. Every light. And we were being evacuated from the ship because a bomb threat just came in. And this wasn't common, as common probably now, but we all looked at each other and got out of bed, and I felt horrible. I felt horrible that I let God down, but let my shipmates down as well. Nobody knew about that, about me not praying, and that was probably the reason this bomb threat. Because when you say, God, you can't make me get out of this bed no matter what, and then a minute later a bomb threat comes in and we have to all get out of our racks. I'm telling you, my friends, God is powerful, and he prank calls evidently. So I went over there and got off the pier, and we're all in our pajamas, and I walked and sat down and just totally sad and broken. And my friend Teddy, who was one of my best friends in the military, loved the Lord. He's in his 30s. I was in my 20s. As someone that I could look up to for the Lord, in the Lord, he looked at me and said, David. I was like, yes, sir. And I didn't know it was him until he bumped me with his elbow into my shoulder. He goes, hey, David. Hey, Rev. I'm like, yes, sir. And I looked so down. He looked at me. Next time, do your prayer. I don't want to get up at 2 o'clock again. And God had told him what had happened. And it was amazing because you don't really expect... You don't expect things like that to happen. And they do. I tell you what, every time now that I get a prayer that I have to pray, and I have to pray it no matter what, I pray. I pray. No matter what, I pray. And I really believe that because of that incident, it made me become more of on guard, more like, okay, God, the urgency is there, let me pray. Because you don't know who God is bringing to you in your prayer closet, in his spiritual, in the spiritual realm, that could actually need some help from you.
You never know. You never know. I'm telling you, my friends, don't be caught up like the Rev got caught up. Don't get caught up. Now, I'm going to give you the three reasons. The three reasons. They're real quick reasons. We're going to read this in Luke 13, if you go with me there. And this is the thing that if you were listening last couple of weeks, I shared with you that I was going to share this. I'm going to get a little bit more reading behind it, but I think it's okay now. I know it pretty well. There was a pastor here in Houston that lost his daughter, and he's a very famous pastor. And when his daughter was killed in an accident at the on an airplane coming back from a youth trip, he was so sad. He was so sad. I mean, who wouldn't be? She was a teenage daughter, beautiful young lady, and she died. It was an unfortunate incident, what others say, and he just could not live with that answer. In fact, he went to where the body was, and of course he had to identify the body. And he looked at the coroner, asked for a few minutes by himself, and he said, "Lord, I know if I put my hands on my daughter, you will raise her back again." And God said, "Don't do it." He had a reason for this to happen. Don't do it. Well, for weeks he would do his preaching and pray, and he would leave and go home after the services. He was not fellowshipping and stuff. He wasn't bitter or angry, but he just wanted time by himself. And he would sit in a chair in his office at home and just pray. And just pray. And then one day, he wanted peace. He wanted God to give him peace for this incident, for this situation. And then on a day that he was not expecting this, in the middle of the night, God woke him up and told him to go to Luke chapter 13 and read. And that's what we're going to read right now. "There was present at the season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Suppose you that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall also likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men, that they dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it to the ground? And he answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year. Also I shall dig about it and dung it. And if I bear fruit, well. And if I don't, if not, then after that I shall cut it all down. He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could not in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loose from thine infirmities. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and glorified God." If you look in those scriptures, and we're going to cover this really quick, and if you look in those scriptures, there's three things that you need to watch out for. Three things. And one of them is, and we'll start with the third thing, and that is the curse. The curse of man. This pastor found peace because he knew that the curse was still alive on this earth. The curse that Adam had in Genesis 3, that he had, that we would have to... It says, "And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree, of which I command thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, curses the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all days of the life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In thy sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till you return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, from dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return." The earth has a curse on it. The thorns, the thistles. In other words, it labors against you. It says in the Word of God as well that the ground, even the earth, trembles and yearns for the return of Christ to lift the curse off of it almost. So, the curse. What does that mean? Well, that pastor found out that the accident happened because someone didn't do their job to the fullest. The maintenance mechanic for the brakes did not do his job to the fullest. So this person was not working 100% of his job. So we have to pray every day. This is something you have to pray today, that everybody that works need to do their job 100% to prevent the curse from taking you prematurely. Premature deaths. The other thing is demons. The woman that had the infirmity was tormented by these demons around her. The spirit of infirmity is a demon, and it had her bound. It wasn't possessing her, but it oppressed her. And demons are not your friends. They're there to keep you from having what God has for you. The enemy's sergeants and agents are against you. So you got to pray against demons every day. You have to pray against demons every day. No matter what, you have to pray against them. So you got to pray against the curse of this land, which we all have to work every day to get what we need. No matter what, we have to. Now, even this land is at an uproar, and thorns and thistles were not common until the curse. So the problems and the mess that we always get ourselves into is because of this land. And it's against you. The land is against you. People not working to their fullest is against you. So you need to pray that they work to their fullest, because that's the curse. They have to fulfill a good day's work. Demons are against you. They're going to come after you. You have to pray against the demonic world. And on top of that, and how do we know about the curse? If you look right here in chapter 13, verse 4. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, that they think that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? He said, because these people fell, do you think they were sinners? No, they were just working hard, but someone did not support that tower well, and 18 people fell off the tower and died. And demons were around this woman and kept her bound. The last thing is witchcraft and the occult. Those who mingled blood, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices, and they killed them after that. The witchcraft and the occult are after you. They have no rest for you. They have no respect for you. They want your life. They do. So my friends, we're coming to an end. I'm running short on time. I'm going to tell you this. You have to be willing to pray and be on guard. God bless you, my friends. That's Luke 13, 1 through 13, and we'll cover it again tomorrow. God bless you. We'll see you next time on the Midwatch. We'll be right back.